Chapter 13. Holden. Amos, who'd finally turned up a few hours after the food riot, carrying a case of beer and saying he'd done some recon, was now carrying a small case of canned food. The label claimed it was chicken food products. Holden hoped that the hacker Prax was leading them to would see the offering as at least being in the spirit of his requested payment. Prax led the way with the manic speed of someone who had one last thing to do before he died, and could feel the end close on his heels. Holden suspected this wasn't far from the truth. The small botanist certainly looked like he'd been burning himself up. They'd taken him aboard the somnambulist while they'd gathered the supplies they'd need, and Holden had forced the man to eat a meal and take a shower. Prax had begun stripping while Holden was still showing him how to use the ship's head, as if waiting for privacy would waste precious time. The sight of the man's ravaged body had shocked him. All the while, the botanist spoke only of May, of his need to find her. Holden realized that he'd never in his life needed anything as badly as this man needed to see his daughter again. To his surprise, it made him sad. Prax had been robbed of everything, had all his fat boiled away. He'd been rendered down to the bare minimum of humanity. All he had left was his need to find his little girl, and Holden envied him for it. When Holden had been dying and trapped in the hell of Era Station, he had discovered that he needed to see Naomi one last time, or, barring that, to see that she was safe. It was why he hadn't died there. That, and having Miller at his side with a second gun. And that connection, even now that he and Naomi were lovers, was a pale shadow compared to the thing driving Prax. It left Holden feeling like he'd lost something important without realizing it. While Prax had showered, Holden had gone up the ladder to Ops, where Naomi had been working to hack her way into Ganymede's crippled security system, pulled her out of her chair, and held her for a few moments. She stiffened with surprise for a second, then relaxed into his embrace. "Hi," she whispered in his ear. It might be a pale shadow, but it was what he had right now, and it was pretty damn good. Prax paused at an intersection, his hands tapping at his thighs as if he were hurrying himself along. Naomi was back on the ship, monitoring their progress through locators they all carried, and with the remnants of the station's security cameras. At Holden's back, Amos cleared his throat and said in a voice low enough that Prax wouldn't hear, "If we lose this guy, I don't like our chances of finding our way back too quick." Holden nodded. Amos was right. Even at the best of times, Ganymede was a maze of identical gray corridors and occasional park-like caverns, and the station certainly wasn't at her best now. Most of the public information kiosks were dark, malfunctioning, or outright destroyed. The PubNet was unreliable at best, and the local citizens moved like scavengers over the corpse of their once great moon, alternately terrified and threatening. He and Amos were both openly wearing firearms, and Amos had mastered a sort of constant glower that made people automatically put him into their not-to-be-fucked-with list. Not for the first time, Holden wondered what sort of life Amos had been leading prior to his signing up for a tour on the Canterbury, the old water hauler they'd served together on. Prax came to a sudden halt in front of a door that looked like 100 other doors they'd already passed, set into the wall of a gray corridor that looked like every other gray corridor. "This is it. He's in here." Before Holden could respond, Prax was hammering on the door. Holden took a step back and to the side, giving himself a clear view of the doorway past Prax. Amos stepped to the other side, tucking the case of chicken under his left arm and hooking his right thumb into his waistband just in front of the holster. A year of patrolling the belt, cleaning up the worst jackals that the governmental vacuum had left behind, had instilled some automatic habits in his crew. Holden appreciated them, but he wasn't sure he liked them. Working security certainly hadn't made Miller's life any better. The door was yanked open by a scrawny and shirtless teenager with a big knife in his other hand. "The fuck?" he started, then stopped when he saw Holden and Amos flanking Prax. He glanced at their guns and said, "Oh." "I've brought you chicken," Prax replied, pointing back at the case Amos carried. "I need to see the rest of the camera footage." "Could have got that for you," Naomi said in Holden's ear, "given enough time." "It's the enough time part that's a problem," Holden sub-vocalized back at her. "But that's definitely plan B." The skinny teen shrugged and opened the door the rest of the way, gesturing for Prax to enter. Holden followed, with Amos bringing up the rear. "So," the kid said, "show it, sabe?" Amos put down the case on a filthy table and removed a single can from the box. He held it up where the kid could see it. "Sauce?" the kid said. "How about a second can instead?" Holden replied, moving over to the kid and smiling up at him agreeably. "So, go get the rest of the footage, and we'll get out of your hair. Sound good?" The kid lifted his chin and pushed Holden an arm's length back. "Don't push up on me, macho." "My apologies," Holden said, his smile never wavering. "Now, go get the damn video footage you promised my friend here." "Maybe no," the kid said. He flapped one hand at Holden. "Adinerado, si, no? Quizás, you got more than chicken to pay. Maybe a lot." "Let me get this straight," Holden replied. "Are you shaking us down? Because that would be..." A meaty hand came down on his shoulder, cutting him off. "I got this one, Cap," Amos said, stepping between Holden and the kid. He held one of the chicken cans in his hand, and he was tossing it lightly and catching it. "That guy," Amos said, pointing at Prax with his left hand while continuing to toss the chicken with his right, "got his baby girl snatched. He just wants to know where she is. He's willing to pay the agreed-upon price for that information." The kid shrugged and started to speak, but Amos held up a finger to his lips and shushed him. "And now, when that price is ready to be paid," Amos said, his tone friendly and conversational, "you want to shake him down because you know he's desperate. He'll give anything to get his girl back. This is a fat payday, right?" The kid shrugged again. "Que, no?" Amos smashed the can of chicken food product into the kid's face so fast that for a moment Holden couldn't figure out why the hacker was suddenly lying on the ground, blood gushing from his nose. Amos settled one knee onto his chest, pinning him to the floor. The can of chicken went up, and then pistoned down into the kid's face again with a sharp crack. He started to howl, but Amos clamped his left hand over the boy's mouth. "You piece of shit," Amos yelled, all the friendliness gone from his voice, leaving just a ragged animal rage that Holden had never heard there before. "You gonna hold a baby girl hostage for more fucking chicken?" Amos smashed the can into the hacker's ear, which immediately bloomed red. His hand came away from the kid's mouth, and the boy started yelling for help. Amos raised the can of chicken one more time, but Holden grabbed his arm and pulled him off the gibbering kid. "Enough," he said, holding on to Amos and hoping the big man didn't decide to clobber him with the can instead. Amos had always been the kind of guy who got into bar fights because he enjoyed them. This was something different. "Enough," Holden said again, and then held on until Amos stopped struggling. "He can't help us if you bash his brains out." The kid scooted backward across the floor and had his shoulders up against the wall. He nodded as Holden spoke, and held his bleeding nose between his finger and thumb. "That right?" Amos said. "You gonna help?" The kid nodded again and scrambled to his feet, still pressed against the wall. "I'll go with him," Holden said, patting Amos on the shoulder. "Why don't you stay here and take a breather?" Before Amos could answer, Holden pointed at the terrified hacker. Better get to work. There, Prax said, when the video of May's abduction came up again. That's May. That man is her doctor, Dr. Strickland. That woman, I don't know her. But May's teacher said that she came up in their records as May's mother, with a picture and authorization to pick her up. Security's very good at the school. They'd never let a child go without that. Find where they went, Holden said to the hacker. To Prax, he said, why her doctor? May is... Prax started, then stopped and started over. May has a rare genetic disease that disables her immune system without regular treatments. Dr. Strickland knows this. 16 other kids with her disorder are missing too. He could keep May alive. You getting this, Naomi? Yep, riding the hacker's trail through security. We won't need him again. Good, Holden said. Because I'm pretty sure this bridge is thoroughly burned once we walk out the door. We always have more chicken, Naomi said with a chuckle. Amos made sure the kid's next request will be for plastic surgery. Ouch, she replied. He okay? Holden knew she meant Amos. Yeah, but is there something I don't know about him that would make this problematic? Because he's really... Aquí, the hacker said, pointing at his screen. Holden watched as Dr. Strickland carried May down an older-looking corridor, the dark-haired woman in tow. They came to a door that looked like an ancient pressure hatch. Strickland did something at the panel next to it, and the three of them went inside. No eyes past this, the hacker said, almost flinching as if in expectation of being punished for the failings of the Ganymede security system. Naomi, where does that go? Holden said, patting the air to let the hacker know he wasn't to blame. Looks like an old part of the original dig, she said, her words punctuated by pauses as she worked her console. Zoned for utility storage. Shouldn't be anything beyond that door but dust and ice. Can you get us there? Holden asked. Naomi and Prax both said yes at the same time. Then that's where we're going. He gestured for Prax and the hacker to lead the way back out to the front room, then followed them. Amos was sitting at the table, spinning one of the chicken cans on its edge like a thick coin. In the light gravity of the moon, it seemed like it would keep spinning forever. His expression was distant and unreadable. You did the job, Holden said to the hacker, who was staring at Amos, his face twitching from fear to rage and back again. So you'll get paid. We aren't going to stiff you. Before the kid could reply, Amos stood up and picked up the case of canned chicken. He turned it over and dumped all the remaining cans on the floor, where a few rolled away to various corners of the small room. Keep the change, asshole, he said, then threw the empty box into the tiny kitchen nook. And with that, Holden said, we'll take our leave. After Amos and Prax had gone out the door, Holden backed out, keeping a watchful eye on the hacker to make sure there would be no misguided attempts at revenge. He shouldn't have worried. The minute Amos was out the door, the kid just started picking up the chicken cans and stacking them on the table. As he backed out and closed the door behind him, Naomi said, you know what it means, don't you? Which thing? He replied, then said to Amos, back to the ship. Prax said all the kids with May's particular disorder were missing, Naomi continued, and her doctor is the one who took her out of school. So we can probably assume he, or the people working with him, took the others, Holden agreed. Amos and Prax were walking together up the corridor, the big man still wearing his distant look. Prax put a hand on his arm, and Holden heard him whisper, thank you. Amos just shrugged. Why would he want those kids? Naomi asked. The better question to me is, How did he know to take them just hours before the shooting started?
Yeah, Naomi said, her voice quiet.
Yeah, how did he know that?
Because he's the reason why things went pear-shaped, Holden replied, saying out loud what they were both thinking.
If he's got all of those kids, and he or the people he's with were able to start a shooting war between Mars and Earth to cover up the snatch,
starts to feel like a strategy we've seen before, doesn't it? We need to know what's on the other side of that door.
One of two things, Naomi said. Nothing, because after the snatch, they got the hell off this moon.
Or, Holden continued, a whole lot of guys with guns.
Yeah.
The galley of the somnambulist was quiet as Prax and Holden's crew watched the video again. Naomi had pieced together all the security footage of May's abduction into a single long loop. They watched as her doctor carried her through various corridors, up a lift, and finally to the door of the abandoned parts of the station. After the third viewing, Holden gestured for Naomi to turn it off.
What do we know? He said, his fingers drumming on the table.
The kid's not scared. She's not fighting to get away, Amos said.
She's known Dr. Strickland all her life, Prax replied. He would be almost like family to her.
Which means they bought him, Naomi said. Or this plan has been going on for...
4 years, Prax said.
4 years, Naomi repeated.
Which is a hell of a long con to run unless the stakes are huge.
Is it kidnapping? If they want a ransom payment?
Doesn't wash.
A couple hours after May disappears into that hatch, Holden said, pointing at the image frozen on Naomi's screen, Earth and Mars are shooting each other. Somebody's going to a lot of trouble to grab 16 sick kids and hide the fact they did it.
If Protogen wasn't toast, Amos said, I'd say this is exactly the kind of shit they'd pull.
And whoever it is has significant tech resources, too, Naomi said. They were able to hack the school system even before the Ganymede NetSec was collapsing from the battle and insert that woman's records into May's file without any trace of tampering.
Some of the kids in her school had very rich or powerful parents, Prax said. Their security would have to be top-notch.
Holden drummed out a last rhythm on the tabletop with both hands, then said,
Which all leads us back to the big question. What's waiting for us on the other side of that door?
Corporate goons, Amos said.
Nothing, Naomi said.
May, Prax said quietly. It might be May.
We need to be prepared for all three possibilities. Violence, gathering clues, or rescuing a kid. So, let's put together a plan. Naomi, I want a terminal with a radio link that I can plug into whatever network we find on the other side and give you a doorway in.
Yep, Naomi said, already getting up from the table and heading toward the keel ladder.
Prax, you need to come up with a way for May to trust us if we find her and give us details on any complications her illness might cause during a rescue. How quickly do we need to get her back here for her meds? Things like that.
Okay, Prax said, pulling out his terminal and making notes.
Amos?
Yeah, Cap?
That leaves violence to us. Let's tool up.
The smile began and ended at the corners of Amos's eyes.
Fuck yeah.